May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is a scripture from Revelation 13, verse 8. And it says, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, and everyone whose name has not been written in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. That's really a significant scripture. It gives us insight into the ways of God. And you can tell a certain story in scripture, but understand it can represent God's ways, and so there are principles and realities about that that are applicable to any situation that we go through. When man fell in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, and they were separated from the presence of God, it wasn't as if God was taken back and was in shock, trying to come up with a solution. Even though he reveals the solution in Genesis chapter 3, when he says this, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle, speaking of Satan the serpent, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, which is, of course, Jesus. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And so here's the Lord declaring the solution, but it wasn't like in that moment he thought up a solution to this sort of unsolvable problem. Here is mankind created as his poem, his masterpiece, to reveal his image and likeness, and now they're separated from him because they've chosen independence by eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're now hiding from each other. They're hiding from God when they're called to live an intimate, transparent fellowship with him. And so he declares this thing that's going to happen. Jesus is going to come, and at the cross, even though his heel be bruised, he's going to bruise the serpent's head. But Revelation 13 tells us that Jesus was actually slain before the foundation of the world. And in other words, before there was ever a problem, God was already had a solution. And in a lot of ways, the gospel, if you remember when God promised, let me back up here, when God spoke to Abraham, he was 75 years old. They had no children. Sarah was barren. She had not been able to have children. And in Genesis chapter 12, he spoke to them that they were going, through their seed, all the earth would be blessed. And then he reiterated that same promise in chapter 13 and again in chapter 15. And in the process, Abraham or Sarah could believe he meant that really would come from her womb. So they produced Ishmael and kept trying to manipulate things with God. And finally in chapter 17, 24 years after God had given the promise, they still weren't walking in faith about it. It says in Romans chapter 4, they didn't start believing until Abraham was about 100 years old. So he's 99 years old. God comes to him again. He's arguing. He's presenting God, oh, please let Ishmael. I'm taking care of it. You're off the hook, Lord. And God says, no, from your seed, from you, from your body, from her body, from Sarah's body, this child's been born. And Abraham laughed at God. And then next scene in chapter 18, under the oaks of Mamre, comes to Sarah and tells her, this time next year you're going to have a child, and she laughs at God too. And so the Lord tells them, he says, well, you're going to name your child Isaac, and Isaac means God's laugh. And it's like God was, it wasn't like God came up with the solution. He had already promised the solution before there was ever the 24-year problem, and Isaac was just God's laugh, but God had been laughing the whole time at their unbelief. And someone said that the gospel is God's laughter at this unsolvable problem, the fall of man. Over and over again in the epistles, without looking it up, It talks about Jesus being a mystery that was hidden for ages, now revealed. Because you see, Jesus was always the solution. And the cross was always the solution to the fall of man. But that wasn't a solution that God came up with after man fell. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus was always the solution to the problem. And the cross, the solution to the problem. But for a long time, it was a mystery. It was a solution that God had already decreed and declared. It was already a reality in heaven, but God had not yet revealed it on earth. And then when Jesus came, it says in Colossians 2, verse 2, that Jesus, the mystery of God, revealed. That mystery was manifested. Now, there's a lot of things that means about a lot of cool, wonderful stuff, but for us on practical daily stuff, all of us in this fallen world deal with jazz. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have jazz. You know what I'm saying? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But cheer up. He said, I have already overcome the world. And the deal is that there's not a single problem that you're facing right now that the solution, which is Jesus, has not already been provided. The laugh of God already started before the problem ever began. And just because the solution in terms of what you can see may be still a mystery to you, you haven't seen it manifested yet, you can still add your laughter of faith to God's laughter of faith. Because I can assure you, the solution's already been provided. You just don't see it manifested yet. So you don't have to wait to see it manifested to believe. Everything's summed up in Christ. That's why I wrote in that devotional, a little short one, a couple weeks ago, that Christians don't have problems. They have solutions, which is Jesus. He's our solution. So whatever it is you're going through, or whatever it is you might go through, God's already provided. He's not trying to think up some answer. He's already provided. He is the answer to it all. It's just maybe a mystery to you as to how it's all going to work out yet. But it's not a mystery to God. And it will be manifested in time. But in the meantime, while the solution's there, but it's still a mystery to the sight realm, you don't have to live in anxiety and nervousness, anger and frustration, depression and despair. There's an old little short poem that says, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees, and looks at that alone, laughs at impossibilities, and cries, it has been done. And I just think that's a cool thing for us to remember. It's okay to live in mystery sometime. But we're called to live in mystery by faith. But that doesn't, mystery doesn't mean there isn't a solution. There's a solution. God's already made provision. You just can't see it yet. But we live by faith, don't we? Not by sight. And faith is about what God believes, not about what you believe. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.